Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Boys, boys. Mr. Mayor, fellow members of the City Council, in less than 2 hours, liquor will be declared illegal by decree of the distinguished gentlemen of our nation's Congress. To those beautiful, ignorant bastards.
Prohibition!
And that is from Boardwalk Empire, the new series on HBO. It's about gangsters in New Jersey. That sounds familiar. But this time it's not present-day Central New Jersey. It's Atlantic City during the 1920s and Prohibition. So we are continuing with our three-day miniseries about new movies and television shows set around places we live and know around here. Yesterday the place was Facebook and the film The Social Network. And tomorrow we'll talk about the film Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. Should have asked Charles Gasparino if you saw that one. Dana Stevens, film critic for Slate and co-host of their weekly podcast, The Culture Gab Fest, is back. And also joining us is Daniel Okrent. You might remember he was the first public editor at the New York Times, their ombudsman, or as the inventor of Rotisserie League Baseball. But he's also the author of the recent book, Last Call, The Rise and Fall of Prohibition. So Dana Stevens and Daniel Okrent, welcome back to WNYC.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, me too.
So it's got Martin Scorsese as a producer, and he directed the first episode, and a Sopranos writer behind it. Let's get the inevitable question out of the way, Dana. Are they trying too hard to recreate the success of The Sopranos?
I think maybe they are trying a little bit too hard, but I want to give this show some leeway to develop. I think it's going places that are interesting. After the pilot, I didn't think I was going to be interested enough to watch. The pilot directed by Martin Scorsese, I actually think, was the weakest episode so far, and now it's really picking up.
And HBO subscribers, let's hear from you. If you've been watching Boardwalk Empire, is it winning you over? Give us your six-word reviews at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Any Atlantic City old-timers, do you recognize your town as set in the 1920s? 212-433-9692. Or we do have a page for this on our website if you want to write about it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. By the way, Steve Buscemi. I said Buscemi. I feel like I've heard it Buscemi all these years.
I know, but you hear it both ways, Buscemi, but I'm going to go with Buscemi. I think that's how he says it.
Star of the series. He plays, the character's name is Nucky Thompson, not Lucky, Nucky, who's based on Nucky Johnson, a real-life political boss and bootlegger, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. And so far, what I've seen, it's a damn close portrayal of who Nucky was. I think they did change his name, though, so to enable them to stray from the historical record if they want to.
Yeah, I heard the director on Fresh Air, I guess, talking about not using the name of the real-life character precisely to give them more leeway. I don't know, after, you know, what we know about The Social Network, they don't have to actually change the name in order to stray from reality.
It's an interesting choice because they're...
Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's a lot of characters whose names are used from real life in the same series. So presumably they're taking less leeway with those. I don't know. Al Capone's in there,
well,
too.
Well, when they have Al Capone kicking a reporter in the head over and over and over again, I don't know whether Al Capone ever did it. He certainly could have done it, but you're safe from lawsuit, of course. It's a dead man who was a criminal.
How do you think, Dan, in general, that they're doing with the history so far? Do they get some of the nuances and strange bedfellows that you feature in the book, like the link between women's suffrage and prohibition and the Klan?
Yeah, they got those exactly right, and visually they got it exactly right. I think it's gorgeous to look at, and from everything I know about the period, they do they have that nailed. I mean, there have been some things that have been a little bit off. The excerpt that you played at the beginning of the segment, in which he thanked Congress for doing this. In fact, the 18th Amendment, like all constitutional amendments, had to be passed by 3/4 of the state legislatures as well. But I think I'm being a tiresome academic rather than a good television viewer.
All right, so I'll ask you another detail. Is Al Capone young enough? He's one of the characters in the series, and you've written that he's usually depicted much too old.
Yeah, that's kind of nice to see. I don't know how old he looks to you, but at the time that we're watching it right now, Capone would have been 22 or 23. You know, he was gone from Chicago entirely by his 32nd birthday. He took over Chicago when he was 25 years old. He's not the Capone that we've seen in many other movies, certainly.
Charlie in South Orange, you're on WNYC. Hey, Charlie, you've been tuning in?
Yeah, now I've only seen the first one,
But from based on that, I think they've gone to the well once too often. I think the gangster genre is way overdone. The Sopranos was fresh. This is not.
Thank you for your opinion. And so, Dana, how long do you think it'll take to get beyond the Sopranos comparisons? I mean, series can take a while to get going. Just three episodes have aired. What would it really take to hit its stride so people don't say, oh, Boardwalk Empire, it's trying to be The Sopranos?
Yeah, well, I was going to say to that caller before he got off the air, he should maybe give it another chance. I mean, obviously, everything on HBO is trying to be The Sopranos in the sense that they're trying to get that viewership back and that sense of excitement that we had on Sunday night seeing The Sopranos on The Wire and those series that really caught fire with people. But we don't know if Boardwalk Empire is going to do that yet. And when I think of all the shows that you could have given up on after the pilot that became really interesting thereafter, I think this one could be going places.
Eric in New Rochelle, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hi, thank you, Brian. My comment is that I think the show needs more character development. The Sopranos was interesting mainly because I think the people were very interesting, and we got to know them. But maybe it just takes time for this show to do that. But if they're able to do that and throw in a little more pathos, I think it'll do very well.
Eric, thank you. And, of course, character development means development, and that means over time. But, Dana, back to Steve Buscemi. He's usually more of a supporting actor. Do you think it was a risk to cast him as the lead?
I think it was a risk that paid off. I really love Buscemi, and I've always wanted to see him in something that he can carry. And he always plays sort of the weird guy in the corner, you know, the character role in a movie. And I really think he's quite strong as Nucky Thompson or Johnson, whichever name they're using.
Yes, Thompson is the fictional name. You have an opinion about that so far, Dan? You're allowed.
I think that Buscemi's great. In fact, my biggest complaint about the show is that when he's not on camera, it's kind of slow. When he's there, it's absolutely electric, I think.
Another call. Ken in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Hi, Ken. Turn off your radio because you'll hear the delay, okay?
Yeah. My mom was born in Atlantic City in 1917. I was born in 44, and in the late 40s and 50s used to go there a lot. And my sense of the facades and the boardwalk is very realistic. In terms of my mom's story, her parents had a kind of up-class, upscale auction gallery in the 20s, a boardwalk. I think it was called the Boardwalk Auction Gallery. And the pictures, I have some pictures of it from that time. And the scenes, the setting, the ambience looks very, very similar. The clothes, too, because I have pictures of my grandmother and grandfather from that time. An interesting sort of startling coincidence, apparently her parents rented, they had a large house near the bay on Plaza Place. And in the summers, they traveled and rented their house to, of all people, Nucky Johnson.
Wow.
I never heard much about the connection other than that. And interesting, my mom's boyfriend, after my father died, who is now 93, said that when they were in school, elementary school and junior high, the kids all knew which houses were the speakeasies and which were the brothels. Mm-hmm. But the facades were all very normal-looking houses, but they would sort of walk past them and titter a little bit about what was going on inside.
Great story. Dana?
Yeah, it sounds like he's the ideal viewer for this show.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know, it's probably because the show is all filmed. I have some pictures of the interior of the house from the 20s that Johnson rented in the summers. I'm kind of astounded that my grandparents might have had a connection to this man,
hey,
but
you might
I'm
want
not
to
sure.
Sell,
well, hopefully it was just the business of renting the house.
You might want to sell some family heirlooms to HBO. Who knows?
Yeah, they could use them for the set.
Dana, did you want to say something else?
Oh, I just had a question. It's just a general question about the production design of that very lavish boardwalk set, which was incredibly expensive. It was, I think, built along the river in Queens or Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, yeah.
And I just wonder about the age. It doesn't seem like any of the signs on the boardwalk in Boardwalk Empire are older than any other signs. I just wonder whether it's true, and maybe Daniel knows this, whether was it all built at once? Why does it all look so crisp and new?
Huh.
Well, I think it was because it was relatively speaking, a very wealthy resort, and they would have maintained it very well, is my guess.
And Ken, thank you for your call. And, of course, the real Atlantic City could have used the revenue of shooting it there.
Absolutely.
Phyllis in Nutley, an instant fan, right, Phyllis?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen all three, and I just think they rock. I love going back in time, and the gangster genre is not overdone, especially in New Jersey. And I am so pleased to see Steve Buscemi in a leading role. He's got one of the most interesting and expressive mannerisms and faces and vocal tone. And I'm just so happy to see him finally in a leading role. So thank you very much and continue on. I'm looking forward to more.
Thank you very much. Of course, the gangsters used to be, you know, whiskey bootleggers. Now they're real estate developers who pass checks to assistant city managers. But that's another story. Do you think, Dan, having written the book that you did, that prohibition is also of interest right now because it was part of the go-go 1920s that ended with the Great Depression, you know, a certain historical echo?
Yeah, there's an absolute historical echo, and you see it in many aspects of life. Obviously, the economic trouble we're having now is similar to the Depression that did end Prohibition, and we're seeing in California, I think, that it's almost certain that the marijuana initiative is going to pass because the state needs tax money, and that's what brought the Prohibition to its end, was the desperate need that the federal government and state governments had for tax revenue in the pit of this horrible economic time.
Christine in Ditmas Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Christine.
Hi. I was just going to say that The Sopranos had this tag when it kind of started. It was a mobster who was in conflict with himself, and he was in therapy. And so there was this hook that I think got people really interested, and also, too, that it would be a very violent person who had conflict within himself about what he was doing. And I don't think that's my problem with Boardwalk Empire so far, is that it doesn't have that emotional complexity.
I feel like I keep jumping to the defense of Boardwalk Empire. It's not like it's my favorite show that's ever aired, but I actually do think that the Buscemi character is starting to have that complexity introduced. And the last image we saw of him in the last show is he's looking at the muddy tracks that he just tracked in through the Ritz-Carlton lobby. I think it's starting to be some of that internal conflict.
And just three shows. Do you see any potential breakout seconds in this series? I mean, Buscemi was memorable as Tony Soprano's cousin in that show. Any supporting cast members that you're noting already?
I've noticed a bunch. I don't know what Daniel thinks, but I really like Stephen Root as Al Capone, who's a British actor. You'd never know he's British from that performance. And I've seen him in a lot of small roles. It's really nice to see him in this one. I really think everyone in the cast is pretty strong, except possibly for Michael Pitt as Jimmy, who's the young assistant, you know, the young sidekick to Steve Buscemi. I don't think he's so great.
You are Slate's film critic, known as such, though you've written about television in the past. How different is it? A lot has been made about how good TV is getting, thanks to HBO and some other networks. Are you buying it?
I think TV is kind of in a golden age right now. I mean, I will say it's the first time that I've ever not been able to keep up with all the TV that I really want to watch and feel like I should watch. I mean, watching TV used to be sort of like a guilty pleasure. Now I feel like it's a moral duty that I can't keep up with.
And Dan, I read that your book will be getting the Ken Burns treatment, so we'll be able to see a documentary about Prohibition as well as this fictionalization on Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, it's already done. It'll be running next year. I've seen it, and you'll see that it looks a lot like Boardwalk Empire, and it's got the great music that Boardwalk Empire has as well.
Interesting. Why did you choose to write at this time? I mean, you know, you're such a curious person, and you write about so many different things over your lifetime. Why did you choose Prohibition at this time?
Well, I was considering what to do for a next book, and my previous book that I had written about the history of Rockefeller Center, the speakeasies in Manhattan were where Rockefeller Center is now. That was the heart of the speakeasy belt. And when the Rockefellers were trying to acquire the land, they kept on running into these speakeasy owners who had more political clout than they did. I thought, that's interesting. And then once you start unraveling it, you can follow it for 5 years, as I did.
All right. Dana Stevens is film critic for Slate and co-host of their weekly podcast, The Culture Gab Fest. Daniel O. Krent is the author now of Last Call, The Rise and Fall of Prohibition. Thank you both so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett produced this program with Alan Smith and Rachel Senator. We had intern help today from Alec Hamilton and Annalise Winnie. It's a freecountry.org editor, Anna Sale. And our senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Talk to you tomorrow. I'm Brian Lehrer.